Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, March the 25th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the Prince and Princess of Wales are due in Kent for the enthronement of the first female Archbishop of Canterbury.
I've always worked with other people. I've always worked with teams. I know no other way of doing it. And therefore, as an Archbishop, you know, that my ministry is always shared.
Residents criticise plans for dozens of homes on a nearby field.
I've lived in East Fylde now for 43 years and will never want to go anywhere else. My life and love is in the village.
And there are fears a new development in Dover will result in the loss of almost all of the parking spaces around a nearby church.
It's a much loved church, Great Munjam Church, and there is no parking near to the church. There are about three spaces that's available at the church.
First up today, remember Boris bikes from back in the day? Well, now something very similar has come to Canterbury. They're called Beryl bikes and are electric powered vehicles that you can hire and ride around the city. Now, the company already has similar schemes in Manchester, Plymouth and Bradford. And reporter Brad Harper went along to the launch and spoke to Beryl bikes CEO Philip Ellis.
So from today, there'll be a launch number of bikes. They'll get up to 120 over the course of the next couple of weeks. And the scheme is operated on a fixed parking bay basis. So there'll be coming up to almost 30 parking bays implemented across the city centre and into the residential areas where people pick up the bike, go for a ride and drop it off back at any one of the parking bays.
Do you know the geography of those across the city centre?
The best way for people to understand where they are is to download the Beryl app. And once you've got the app, you can set up an account and see really clearly where the different parking bays are throughout town.
And who is going to benefit from these? Who is the sort of target market
Well, so, I mean, the hope is that it's really convenient, affordable and easy for people to use so that, you know, anybody can get on one of these and go for a ride. The idea is to give people another choice of how they want to get around rather than, you know, leaving their house with the car keys in their pocket every day. And also, obviously, you know, nice to get out from a public health point of view, you know, good to get some pedals in and things like that. Obviously, in a place like Canterbury, there's some specific elements to the location that are really play nicely to a bike share system like this. Obviously, lots of visitors coming in, good sized student population, and generally, you know, people who want to get in and out of town from residential areas.
Brad also caught up with Councillor Alex Ricketts.
I'm really excited about this. It's been so long coming and I'm really happy that we've got there. I've managed to have a ride on one of the bikes this morning. It's absolutely brilliant. It's one of the things that people ask me about quite often is, why don't we have a bike hire scheme? Why don't we have one of those things linking the uni up? And I've had to keep it a little bit secret for a while as well. So I'm really happy that this has finally come through. And I'm just looking forward to having a ride around the city.
But are you aware of the locations that this covers?
Yeah, as I understand it, the first few locations are going to be very much around the city centre. And then there's a few more that will come on after that, linking up to the uni and St Stephen's, and quite a long way out from the city centre as well. And we hope that it's successful and that links up even further into the district. I want to be able to use one of these bikes up the Crab and Winkle to Whitstable, hopefully.
Perfect. And I wouldn't be doing my job without asking about the cost of this.
Yeah.
So can you talk me through, the cost?
It's something that's part of a lot of the work that we're trying to do to bring in different transport modes around the city, open it up both for locals and for tourists as well. So some of the funding's come from the Levelling Up Fund, which you'll see from the works over at the Westgate Towers at the moment. This is part of that. Once we've made the city wonderful and opened it up and put some more areas in so it's looking fabulous for the summer, then people can get on one of these bikes and cycle around as well. So it's all linked together.
And Brad joins me on the episode now. Brad, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. So as we've been hearing, you went along to the launch of the Beryl bikes yesterday. Firstly, can you describe what the vehicles actually look like?
So the bikes look similar to other hire bikes you will find across the country. They are turquoise in colour and come equipped with a basket, a stand and a speedometer. Users use the Beryl app to scan a QR code on the bike and then away you go.
And it all sounds great, a good thing to do, but what did you see in the city last night?
So at about 7 p.m. last night, I spotted three Beryl bikes scattered across the pavement near the St George's roundabout outside the Mountain Warehouse store. They were near one of the parking bays, which are up and running, another bike was in the parking bay area but was lying on the ground.
So, Brad, if the bikes are dumped, does that mean they're out of action and can't be ridden by anyone else?
I checked the app last night and the Beryl app showed the four bikes were still available to be used. If users leave the bikes outside the parking bays, Beryl says they are charged £10.
And did Beryl bosses explain if this sort of thing can be prevented going forward?
The company's chief executive said the technology on the bike is very accurate and improvements have been made in geofencing and GPS accuracy. He said, "We have good levels of confidence. People will know where to pick up and drop off the bikes. And there are immediate fines in place if people leave them out of a bay."
Brad, thank you ever so much. You can see pictures of the bikes and let us know what you think about the scheme. Is it going to work in Canterbury? Would you hire them to ride around the city? You can leave a comment at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. In East Kent, hospitals have admitted waiting 2 days before raising the alarm about a meningitis outbreak. Cases are supposed to be flagged with authorities straight away, but there was a delay when the first patient was admitted to the QEQM hospital in Margate. There have been no new cases in Kent for the third day in a row. Meantime, East Kent Hospital Trust is going to be placed under an NHS recovery programme. Health Secretary Wes Streeting has identified five trusts that are bottom of league tables. Each one will be given a tailored approach to try and improve standards. The family of a Kent police officer who died following a crash while on duty have described him as one of the finest young men ever to have walked this earth. PC Bradley Cork was critically injured when a marked police car collided with another vehicle on the A20 in Farningham last Thursday. In a statement, the 27-year-old's parents say they have been touched by the outpouring of love and affection from all who knew him. A hearing's been told a woman who died after falling from a bridge in Ashford had told mental health crisis teams about taking her own life just 2 hours before it happened. Danny Toohey was still wearing hospital clothing when she was found in January last year, a day after discharging herself from the William Harvey. An investigation found there were missed opportunities to help the 25-year-old in the weeks and months before she died. A coroner recorded a conclusion of suicide. Now, Samaritans can be contacted at any time on 116123 or via email. That address is joe@samaritans.org, or you can head to the Samaritans website. That's www.samaritans.org. Now, it's an historic day in Kent as the enthronement of the first female Archbishop of Canterbury takes place. Today's ceremony at Canterbury Cathedral is the symbolic start of Dame Sarah Mullally's leadership of the Church of England. We found out last October she would be the first woman to have the job, and she spoke then about how she would take skills from her previous role in nursing into the church.
Yeah, people often ask me, you know, what is it like to have two careers? Well, the truth is I've had one vocation, and that was to follow Jesus Christ and therefore living out my faith and what I believe. I did initially in nursing. It was about, so in a sense, it was that sense of, you know, you can be the hands of Christ to people by that caring. And I think for me, nursing was about being able to offer compassion and care to people. You know, meeting people who aren't always in the place that they want to be in their lives. And so how do you offer compassion? How do you reassure? How do you give clear information? So in a sense, they can manage whatever else is going on. And so for me, I mean, it was a huge privilege being a nurse, because you meet all sorts of different places. You're with people in very difficult moments, and so in a sense for me that was you know, it was living out my faith, but it was also something that was about compassion. You know, I'm the bishop I am because I was a nurse, and therefore I'm going to be the archbishop that I am because I was a nurse. And for me, the real gifts that has given me, one is this ability to be with people and to listen to them and to talk to them and to be in those places that are often quite difficult, and that for me has been a real gift, and therefore, I carry that forward and that compassion forward. But then as I, travelled slightly more into other more senior roles, latterly being the government's chief nursing officer for England, that was a really good opportunity, one, to work out how you live out your Christian faith. So a lot of my theology I did there, you know, how do you live out a Christian in what is a very very fast-moving environment, often political around the edges, So you work out what does it look like to be a Christian in those moments. But also, you know, the Department of Health and the NHS is a pretty complex organisation. You know, I didn't manage 420,000 nurses. I led them. I oversaw them. So that sort of skill of overseeing in complexity was something that I could take into being a bishop.
Ahead of today's service, Dame Sarah completed a six-day pilgrimage walking from St Paul's Cathedral in London to Canterbury Cathedral, where more than 2,000 people, including the Prince and Princess of Wales and the Prime Minister, will be at today's enthronement. We're told the service will include choral music from the cathedral choir and a blessing in six languages. Well, three students from the John Wallace Academy in Ashford will be taking part in today's events. McAntony Ijerika is one of them.
I'm very excited. I'm also a bit nervous as well, because there's also a chance to mess up, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do everything well.
I'm sure you will be absolutely perfect. And you've had the rehearsals. How did they go?
Yeah, the rehearsal went really well. We did it like a couple of times and we got a good hang of it.
And tell us a bit about meeting Dame Sarah. What was she like?
She's a very lovely person. She looks like really friendly. And when we did the rehearsal yesterday, she was very comforting and she cheered us up as well.
So she's put you at ease before the big moment. And how do you feel, because there will be so many people watching it today around the whole world, not just within the cathedral, but on telly, it's going to be broadcast on YouTube. Are you thinking about that too much?
A little bit. It's a bit nerve-wracking to think about. It's like millions of people, like thousands of people watching it. And I'm pretty sure my parents are going to be watching it as well. So it's like a big moment for me and the people doing it as well.
Absolutely, a huge moment. What have your family said about you taking part today?
Yeah, they've been very excited. They've been asking me all about it. When I came back from the rehearsal yesterday, they like wanted to know everything about it, like who was coming and the big names and like who I saw. It's just like they're really excited about everything.
I've also been speaking to the school's chaplain, who'll be there too.
My name is Ian Rich. So I'm an honorary lay canon at the cathedral. So I knew I would be there anyway. I've been to the election of the Archbishop. We're part of the College of Canons that elected her back in November. And then I've been to the confirmation of election service at St Paul's in January. So I knew that I would be at the service today in that role. But then two or three weeks ago, I got an invitation from Canon Lindsay at the Canterbury Cathedral, inviting me to take three students along to take part in a little part of the ceremony, which is actually welcoming the new Archbishop to the Great West Door of the Cathedral.
I was going to say, what is their role going to be today then? So what are they actually doing?
Yeah, so at the start of the service, the Dean welcomes everybody, and then there's a legal statement to be read out as part of that election of the Archbishop process. And then there's a hymn with a procession. And then they go up to the Great West Door, the big door of the cathedral, and the Archbishop is outside. And she knocks on the door three times with her staff. And then the cathedral staff open the door. There's a fanfare. And then our students have some lines to say where they ask her who she is and why she requires entry, in what capacity she's coming to them. And then we offer a time of prayer as calling everybody to join us in welcoming the Archbishop into the cathedral.
I should think the atmosphere today is going to be incredible. And obviously lots of important people there. You've got the Prince and Princess of Wales, the Prime Minister. I mean, it's going to be quite the occasion.
I'd heard quite early on that Prince William was coming. And then earlier in the week, one of the parents told me that they thought Princess Wales was coming as well. And then heard that possibly Keir Starmer was going to be there too. So, yeah.
Kent Online reports.
A father and son are due to be sentenced today for their involvement in a crash in Kent which killed a four-year-old boy. Peter was travelling in a vehicle with his parents and younger sister when it was deliberately rammed on Newbarn Road in Southfleet in June last year. 27-year-old Owen Morne admitted manslaughter, while 54-year-old Patrick was found guilty of the same offence following a trial. The pair from Hillrise in Darrenth are due in court. You'll be able to follow updates at Kent Online. A Gravesend dad says he's being unfairly treated after being fined for keeping his daughter off school because she was being bullied. Andrew Hopkins believed 16-year-old Rosie was at risk while attending Estuary Academy, but has now been issued a fixed penalty notice. He says the other pupil involved has been expelled, but he's not been able to have the fine overturned. A spokesperson for the school says their attendance policy is based on national guidance. Work is underway on a £3.4 million project to improve access to GP facilities in Sittingbourne. The Frank Lloyd unit at the Memorial Hospital is being refurbished so more doctors can be based there. The ground floor will be converted while the first floor will continue to be used for mental health services. Now, next today, residents of a village near Maidstone have criticised plans to build 26 homes on an agricultural field near their homes. Developers have submitted an application for land off Gallants Lane in East Farley. Neighbours have set up a campaign group and they're delivering leaflets to raise awareness of the scheme. John Wilson and Tim Gorman are among those who oppose it.
I've lived in East Farley now for 43 years and will never want to go anywhere else. My life and love is in the village. This application has come forward and concerns me greatly. We live in a conservation area. We live next to the Medway Valley, which is an area of local landscape value. We live close to the Greensand Ridge, which is also an area of local landscape value. It used to be, when I first arrived here, hop fields, and we used to have the man on his stilts coming by and actually picking the hops. It is then, the hops are removed when the brewery decided they couldn't carry on the business any longer, and it is now valuable local agricultural land and should be left that way. We as a country actually need it and want it, and we must have it. It should not be revoked and changed.
We've lived in East Farley for 33 years, raised our family here. The house here is called Hoplands. It's at the centre of what was the old hop industry around this area. It's a delightful village. It's got plenty of Grade 2 listed buildings in it. It's a conservation area. We were disappointed to find out that there's an application to build 26 new houses immediately adjacent to where we live and to the village generally. We think it clashes with the nature of the village. We think it spoils the landscape. We think that it's going to decimate the wildlife around here. There's talk of providing corridors for animals to continue their route around the site, but we have badgers, bats, deer, foxes. It's not sufficient to give them a route around. It's their habitat, it's where they live. It will be decimated if this development goes ahead.
Now, the agent for the developer says they've commissioned a wide range of technical assessments and reports from specialists, and they've also had several letters of support for the plans. We're told the development will also help meet local housing targets.
Kent Online reports.
The MP for Tunbridge Wells is urging the regulator to scrap a fine for South East Water and instead force the company to upgrade the network. Bosses are facing a £22 million penalty for multiple supply disruptions in Kent and Sussex between 2020 and 2023. Mike Martin says the firm needs to invest double that amount in upgrades to the Pembrey water treatment works. Residents in Dartford have launched a campaign against a local government shake-up which could see the town split in two. One of the options being considered would involve a new boundary line between the councils either side of the A2, meaning areas like Wilmington would come under a different authority. Well, local politicians have also spoken out against the idea. A final decision is expected to be made by the government in July. Funding's been secured for a new primary school in North Kent as the final stages of a regeneration project are agreed. £200 million is going to be spent on developing Ebbsfleet Central East near the International Station. It'll also include more than 2,000 homes and open space. Now, there are fears a new development in Dover will result in the loss of almost all of the parking spaces around a nearby church. 11 homes are set to be built along Northbourne Road in Great Monjum with double yellow lines directly outside. Members of St Martin's Church say the restrictions will significantly impact the number of people who can visit. Reverend Monica Cameron is the rector for St Martin's Church and she's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
My concern is that with the Northbourne Road going to have double line parking, that will significantly affect people actually visiting the church. We have a lot of, we have concerts up there for the whole church. We have a peace garden at the back of the church, and a lot of people go to visit that. They're having a place to sit quietly,
yeah.
And to reflect. We have it's a much loved church, Great Munjam Church, and there is no parking near to the church. There are about three spaces that's available at the church. Every time we have events, it is about parking on Northbourne Road.
How much parking will be lost for the church?
Almost all of it. Like I said, there's only about three spaces which is near to church, and that's all there is. It is about being able to park on Northbourne Road.
We have been in contact with the developers and asked them for a comment.
Kent Online News.
This is quite an unbelievable story. A memorial plaque on a bench in Folkestone that was swept out to sea in a storm has been found 150 miles away. The nameplate was on a seat in Sandgate that was battered during Storm Goretti, you might remember, in January. It was discovered on the shoreline in a village in Lincolnshire. The new owner of Sheppey Pub has revealed plans to transform it into a cocktail bar and restaurant. Nicole Ramsey from Ramsgate has admitted falling in love with the player on the Leas in Minster when she first saw it. Her team have been working since picking up the keys a fortnight ago, and it's set to open next month. Ahead of Record Store Day in April, a shop in Kent has been featured in a new documentary. Saturnalia Records in Faversham appears in the latest series of Behind the Counter, an online series with more than 5 million views. It shines a light on the shop's keeping vinyl and CDs alive. And finally, Talia Maher is going to be on the hit list on our sister radio station KMFM tonight. She'll be chatting to Jack about new music and the impact of becoming an independent artist. You can listen to that from 7.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Kent's Alessia Russo scored for Arsenal last night in the quarterfinals of the Women's Champions League. They beat Chelsea 3-1 in the first leg at the Emirates. The second leg is at Stamford Bridge next week. And in cricket, Kent's head coach Adam Holyoake says there's no reason some of his young players couldn't represent England at senior level one day. Several of them were given their first team debuts last summer and are said to be showing promise. They're due to get the season underway on Good Friday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.